good morning. They don't sound very alert and awake yet this morning. How's everybody doing? You got to put your mind on here. I have a joke for you. What would you have if you put root beer in a square glass? Just beer. Square root, square. All right, I have another one that might be more fun for you. What's green, fuzzy, and would kill you if it fell out of a tree? A pool table. At least Debbie's laughing. All right. Good morning to you. We have worship. We begin worship. We begin the week. We prepare by gathering with our Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you for joining us here. On the back of the bulletin, some of the things going on here. Pecans. In the back is our young lady, Ellen Smith Doctor. She is the one that represents this through her sorority.
It's a women's PEO, Chapter ED. We just raise money for women's education throughout the world. It is, so yeah. And I, right now we are in pecan sales, $13 a pound. And I need all orders by October 6th.
All right. Thank you. So, pecans, you see the announcement there in the bulletin for you to be able to do that. On the back of the bulletin, other things going on. Nothing out of the ordinary this coming week. Do you have announcements that you need to make otherwise? Debbie.
Thank you.
Is this your feather?
Good morning. This Wednesday is the September Crop Fundraiser. It's at Bubba's Restaurant on Iliff and Parker. It's all day, so you can go to lunch, dinner, or both, whatever. And then just quickly, the clothing giveaway will be October 19th. I'll need help October 18th and 19th. If you want to bring clothes in or if you want me to come and get them, I will gladly do either one. And next week, I'll have more information about the crop walk. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Mission. A church without mission is like a torch that does not burn. So we are missional in the name of Christ. Other announcements, other things for the good of the order. I don't see anything else. So if you will, stand and wave hello to one another and greet each other in Christ. And let's turn to our call to worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, come away for a moment to a special time with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us gather where Jesus lives, in a place without loneliness,
a place filled with compassion and justice, a place filled with love and love's healing power. To grow love, miracles of Christ. In the Lord. Let Jesus leads us to the source of life and intercedes on our behalf. Thanks be to God for the blessings available to us at all times
through Jesus Christ.
Please join us for the hymn, Every Time I Feel the Spirit.
Oh,
You can be seated, please. The scripture for today is the Wisdom of Solomon 7:26 through 8:1, and that is not in the Bible. That's in Apocrypha. Okay. Wisdom, she is the reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God, and an image of his goodness. Although she is but one, she can do all things, and while remaining in herself, she renews all things. In every generation, she passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. For God loves nothing so much as a person who lives with wisdom. She is more beautiful than the sun, excels every constellation of the stars. Compared with the light, she is found to be more radiant, for it is succeeded by the night. But against wisdom, evil does not prevail. She reaches mightily from one end of the earth to the other, and she orders all things well. The word of the Lord.
We've talked some about the Apocrypha. That's straight out of the lectionary. They quote out there. There are many wisdom passages, but that's the one they chose for this week. We pause and acknowledge that. By way of concerns, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the concerns before us. You won't see it on the national news, but the tornado Yagi continues to take lives. This is in Asia, in that area, and so we don't always acknowledge our brothers and sisters there, and we need to just be aware, lift our prayers for them. Received word that Janet Boyles had fallen, injured a knee. She hasn't been here in a while. She said she plans to get back as soon as she can and get her knee going, but she says she joins us online. And Janet, hello. All of those others of you that are joining us online through our virtual gathering and our virtual community that is worldwide. Other concerns that you would lift before you? Michael, if you could bring the microphone down to Dawn.
Bringing it down, who?
Yeah, you were gabbing back there.
Well, I have two this afternoon. First, just prayers for my dad as he transitions into his new facility and his new change in life, as we're calling it. And then Tom had surgery on Thursday on his rotator cuff, and so he's at home healing.
I can feel his pain.
Rotator cuff for Tom. And prayers for Don Sr. Other prayer concerns. Please, Debbie.
I'd like prayers for my husband's daughter, Jackie Gunther. She just found out this week that she has lung cancer. Thank you.
Jackie Gunther, okay. Other concerns. Richard Schneer, please.
a friend of ours, Doug Benson, from St. Mark's Church, has lived his whole life with really severe diabetes. He's lost one leg at the knee, and the other one he lost half of his foot. Anyway, hadn't seen him in quite a while, and I've been thinking about him. I found out this week that he's been put in hospice, which is very serious, as you know. So prayers for Doug Benson.
Prayers for Doug Benson as he journeys into hospice. Okay. political rancor continues across our nation, and it's hard not to get involved, hard not to get invested, but that's our task, is to try and love one another despite our differences, or maybe because of them. Interesting set of thoughts there. Others. All right, celebrations. Are there anything special things you want to celebrate? I have a list here. Casey Clark has a birthday on Monday the 18th. Will and Colleen Blake have a anniversary on Thursday the 19th. Is that true? Happy anniversary to you. Marjorie Nuss on Friday. Finau, I see here. Finau has a birthday coming up on, she's going to be 21. Oh, no, the 21st. Okay. Are you going to be 21 on the 21st, Finau? We are wishing, yeah, wishing and wishing. And Mike Mitchell celebrating a birthday next Saturday, the 21st as well. Is that true, Stephanie? All right, all right. Others? Michael. Miss Lucy has something.
Next week, Sunday, is my youngest son's birthday, Va'ahi. Can I just have a prayer for him? He'll be 33.
33?
Yeah.
No, I have 31.
31, sorry.
Sorry. He could be anywhere between 30 and 30, 31 and 33, so we'll see what Va'ahi says. And I have Kiana Ryder is going to have a birthday on next Sunday as well. I didn't read next Sundays. I should, shouldn't I? So, is that true? She's only 16? Oh, my goodness. Goodness, celebrations. Other celebrations. Michael Richard Schneer, he already had one turn, but he's being bold, and he's going to have another. So, well, that's all right.
Well, my other announcement was not happy, but this one is. It's on the 19th, this Thursday, I guess it is, my granddaughter Julia turns 16.
Granddaughter Julia, you are not old enough to have a granddaughter. 16. Amen, amen, amen. I'm sorry, Richard?
I say I'm old enough. I've got one that's 21.
Oh my goodness! All right, all right. No more confessions here. Others, lots of celebrations in our midst. We look around at the produce. Have you noticed the produce in the back? How many people brought in produce? I mean, there was a whole handful of people that brought in produce. There's free produce in the back there, produced by good gardeners and God. So we have lots of celebrations there. Anything else? All right. Thank you for your sharing of your prayers, and we lift the prayers on the back of the bulletin. We lift the prayers that are unspoken, prayers from the community. Let's turn to our unison prayer and let us read responsively. Lord, hear us as we pray. Lord, we seek you on behalf of those we have named aloud before you. We seek you on behalf of those we have named in our hearts. We seek you on behalf of the multitude who need your transforming power. We seek you on behalf of ourselves. Make us your faithful servants. Be with us, Lord. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Almighty God, great Lord, creator, redeemer, sustainer, We gather with you this morning and we give thanks for your gifts among us, our very creation, the world of creation around us, and your sustenance that continues to carry us through the world. Lord, it seems like we are beset at times, especially when there is division. We are divided among families. We are divided among neighbors. We are divided in our churches. We are divided in every way that we can imagine. And yet, Lord, you sustain us, and through you we find unity. You are the one that redeems us, that saves us, that tempers us in fire, that is always with us, guides us and inspires us. You are the one that feeds us and prospers us. We are a rich people. We are a blessed people with homes and cars and clothes and families and the multitude of things that you give us. Lord, we pause before you and apologize when we feel like we have been slighted, when we feel like it is not enough, when there are times of hardship. Help us, Lord, remember that you are the creator and the sustainer as well, and that in all things and all times, you are with us, in life and birth and celebrations of youth and accomplishment and journeys of marriage and families, in hospice, in death, and in resurrection again. Lord, you are with us. To you we can turn at any time. To you we can offer up our prayers. To you we can sharpen our own prayers to more closely seek righteousness with you. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for all that you've given us. We offer up prayers for the congregation gathered here, the congregation virtually, the congregation around the world, in your church. We offer up prayers for our new bishop, Bishop Kristen Stone King. Guide and inspire her as she comes to serve this conference. Guide us that we might serve one another as Christ has served us. Lord, thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you for all the ways you bless us. Keep us mindful always of all of our brothers and sisters of different cultures, races, languages, nations, and inspire us into being yours. Hear us as we gather our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One celebration is Colleen Blake, who is our accompanist, who, since Barbara has retired, she has stepped up with her gifts and graces, and we're grateful for her offering herself to us. And here are the offertory. Thank you.
Please stand if you are able for the Old Testament reading. Mark 8, 31 through 33. Then Jesus began to teach the disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now the kids can come forth for the hymn, "Guide Me, Great Jehovah."
All you young and old kids, big kids and little kids, anybody with a little bit of ability and willingness and what did you say?
Energy.
And energy, yes, all right. For the rest of us, perhaps an aerobic moment. All right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Larry, did you recognize where that was? You always have the answer. Larry was a park ranger, so he knows the state of Colorado inside and out. Anybody recognize where? I'm guessing it's somewhere in Colorado. Could be. Could be Escalante. Yeah. Over on the western slope, some beautiful canyons and lands like that. All right. Are you ready for this morning's message? You got to be putting on your thinking caps. Are you set to do that? First, a little bit of history. If I'm testing your IQ, how many of you have a good history sense? Love history and good sense. December 14th, 1799. Not a date you probably knew pretty well. George Washington, father of our country, after he was president, he, you know, was retired and whatever. He went out for the day riding on a horse, and It was inclement weather, that's all it says, inclement weather. But he rode all day, and when he came in, he was feeling poorly. His throat was hurting, and he was struggling to breathe a little bit. And as the time went by, it got more and more severe, and he was having more and more trouble breathing. They were very concerned about him. He was in respiratory distress. So they called the greatest doctors of the you can imagine, the father of the country. They got the best doctors, they got the most skilled people, and they came to treat him. And they bled him, that is, let blood out, let the bad blood out so that he would heal. They bled him 4 times in 12 hours. He lost a total of 40% of his blood, and he died. Michael, are you glad that they don't still do bloodletting? When they were treating you, they could have bled you, and they would never get all the bad blood out. I love Michael, so he knows I'm teasing you. Don't get me wrong, modern medicine is an amazing thing. I would not have a daughter that is present here without modern medicine. Amen? How many of you owe your lives to modern medicine? Yeah. And if those of you don't, I could say someone in your family. We know that, and they can do amazing things, but there are some things they don't know, they haven't figured out, they can't grasp, they don't know at all. So we need to remember that. Have you ever had an MRI taken? They slice your body and take pictures of it? That just unnerves me. It's pretty amazing. It's magic. You know that when technology gets to a certain level, it's indistinguishable from magic. And I'm kind of thinking that. I think the same thing every time I watch Jurassic Park and see the real dinosaurs that are there. They're real as can be. You've seen them, haven't you? Some of them are kind of nasty little rascals. I'm not discounting modern medicine or any of that at all. Just want you to be aware that we don't know everything yet. 200 years from now, what will we look back and say, can you believe that's what they did to each other in the name of medicine? I'll bet you chemotherapy and radiation are two of those. They work for us, they do amazing things, but I'll bet they have something else figured out in 200 years. I hope so, amen? All right, I have another question for you. How many of you like math? Math, science, that sort of thing. All right, simple thing, all right. All of you have gone to some sort of school. All of you went through eighth, ninth grade, geometry. All right. You have a circle. Here we go. You have a circle, and the circle is exactly 10 inches in diameter. What is the area of that circle? That may be a hard calculation to do without your computer, right? Let's just do the circumference of the circle. What's the circumference of a circle with a diameter of 10 inches? 31.496, yeah. Richard, how many decimals of pi have you got memorized? So we just heard what the circumference-ish. What could it be exactly? I mean, if it's multiplied, if you take pi diameters, it's 10 times pi. Well, what is the absolute value of pi? Nobody knows. It's a repeating decimal, 3.14159226. And it goes on and on and on forever. So we don't know exactly the value of pi. So we cannot know exactly the circumference of the circle. The area of a pi. You make an apple pie, 10 inches. Pi r squared, radius squared, I did it on my calculator, my math's not that fast. The 78.539816 square inches-ish. Now, I got to ask you, there's only so much apple pie there. There's an exact amount of apple pie there. We should be able to figure that out exactly, yes? Well, we, you what? You get half. We don't know for sure what that area is exactly. We don't know exactly what the circumference is. Does that unnerve anybody? We're now working with computers that are measuring things in nanometers. So small that if you drop the human hair under the microscope next to it, it would completely obliterate everything there. We're talking very, very small measurements. And so now the value of pi-ish. Do you wonder if we don't have math completely figured out yet? It's something that keeps me awake at night sometimes. If it doesn't bother you, let it go. Sleep peacefully. So I'm talking about knowledge. And by the way, I am told that ragweed is in season. My eyes told me. Allergies. Anybody else have allergies? We're together there, brothers and sisters. All right. Knowledge. We just talked about knowledge. Do we have a pretty good handle on knowledge? It seems like it, doesn't it? Seems like we're really getting there. Artificial intelligence is coming right around the corner. Have you seen that robotic dog that Boston Dynamics makes? Goes upstairs, dances. If you haven't seen it, go to Google and Google the Dynamics, Boston Dynamics dog. I think its name's Spot. Somebody help me, no? I can't believe that that thing isn't alive. Incredible thing. It's obviously a machine, but I have gotten a little off track here, so let's bring this back now. So knowledge. Knowledge is an awesome and wonderful thing, but it has a seductive edge. As we continue to learn more and our knowledge increases, it seduces us into believing that we know it all and that there's nothing that we can't analyze, measure, categorize. And so those things that are unmeasurable, that are unknown, can't exist. Faith, God. My dad is gone, but he was a scientist, mathematician, mining engineer, physics, calculus teacher. And he once commented to me, his dad was a pastor. And so he grew up in the Presbyterian church with that. And he said, some people argue about science or faith, science or religion, and the two are in conflict. He says, there's no conflict. He says, what we know and can measure and categorize is science, but beyond that, there are things that we don't know. There are other things, and that's where faith begins. My dad's wisdom, amen? Be aware that some people gain a lot of knowledge, but it isn't necessarily wisdom. See, Deb read from the Apocrypha, the Solomon's wisdom is listed there, and talking about wisdom, and it's a female, and there's a lot of debate about what's going on with wisdom and that persona in the female guys. But wisdom is important. Wisdom has been with God. Wisdom is something that God celebrates and cherishes. And so what is wisdom? And how does that fit in with knowledge? The wisest of the wise know that knowledge and science can only go so far. Jesus once commented, no one knows what happens beyond the veil of death. Not even Jesus when he was on earth. Only God can know that. Beyond there, something unimaginable. We can imagine perhaps, but I doubt we'd be accurate. And that is an act of faith. So let me ask you another question. Were Adam and Eve wise? I mean, if you think about people with very high IQs, who do you think about? Einstein pops right up there for me. Tesla, Gates, perhaps, although he actually didn't make the list of the top 25. Who's the one that just died that had, was it Lou Gehrig's disease? Hawkins, thank you. It's okay, as I get older, there's part of the memory that gets stored in reserve there, and it's just not available. But do you think Adam and Eve were wise when they made the choice? God said you can live in the garden, you don't have to worry about clothes, you don't have to worry about food, just love this beautiful garden made for you, but do not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And they did. And they realized they were naked. And they realized all the other things. And they were kicked out of that Eden because they wanted to know. They wanted to ask those questions. And in knowing, they knew then their own finitude, their own death would come someday. Ask, how many of you have a cat or a dog? Ask them if they know about death. They'll smile and say, when's dinner? And that's okay. There's blissful ignorance there, and that's a wonderful place to be. Adam and Eve chose to depart from that. So now we stand at a place where we have more knowledge. But wisdom is more than just knowledge, and sometimes less than knowledge. From what Deb read, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Oh my. Full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that's called out and named in the Wisdom of Solomon. Now you can understand perhaps why it's included in our reading. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. So you see, wisdom is this other thing. There is knowledge that's there. We can make peace. We can be gentle. We can care for one another medically. We can do all of those other things. Gentleness comes, willingness to yield. That's a tough one for us Americans. Boy, are we an egotistical bunch, aren't we? Admit it. We got to fess up there. We feel like we're the number one, the best, and everybody should do it our way. Why doesn't everybody speak English like we do? You know, it's not even, in the top three languages, is it, spoken in the world? I'm getting down another sidetrack there. So here's wisdom. Here is wisdom. Wisdom is changing over time, and knowledge and wisdom, they're beginning to. Do you know that the idea that not making war had to come as a growing edge for humanity? Do you remember the story of David and Bathsheba? Vaguely remember the story. David, and he seduces the wife of one of his soldiers. He commits a terrible sin of adultery. He forces her into that relationship. She becomes pregnant. And to try and cover it up, he sends her husband back to spend the night with her, but the husband refuses to go in the bedroom with her. So he has the husband killed on the battlefield and takes Bathsheba as his wife to cover up what he has done, to hide his transgression. The prophet Nathan comes and says, God knows, God's aware, and you, sir, must repent. And there is more to the story that continues there. But that whole story begins. It begins when it says, in the spring of the year, when good kings go to war, David stayed home. So here was a mindset that every year in the spring there should be war and conquest, and there's going to be riches, there's going to be all the things that happen with it. War was a given part of how humanity was and how we are in the world. And so knowledge and wisdom have helped us move beyond that, mostly. Perhaps some of the transgressions we're experiencing in our world right now are still those warrior conquest ideals. Knowledge and wisdom. The gospel lesson, that's what it's about. Did you hear that? It's one of the pieces of scripture that I know it's important, I know it's central, but I'd rather go back to the parables and the fun stuff and the teaching and Jesus and his disciples and just having a great time. But he begins to teach his disciples that he must endure his passion. Passion. That's the word we use for it. I'm not sure why that is, and I've always said I'm going to research that one of these days. You'll know when I get there. But his passion is about his capture and his torture, his questioning, his trial, his crucifixion, and his death. Jesus' passion, and he tells the disciples that this has to happen. And Simon Peter, like many of us, would, no. This is a great thing we have going here. We got the disciples, people are following us, you're popular, it's just a great life, you're teaching and we're your students and everything's happy and everything's joyful. This cannot come to an end. No, Lord, you can't have this happen. Don't tempt me, Simon. Don't tempt me to not do what I'm called to do. Don't tempt me not to follow through with where God has sent me. Get behind me, Satan. You see, Jesus knew his destiny. It was painful to perceive. And the disciples didn't want to hear it. The disciples were in denial. The disciples didn't understand Jesus at all. That he must go and make a sacrifice of atonement for humanity, for sin, and bring us salvation. That knowledge was hard to hear. The wisdom is that in fulfilling this, Jesus becomes the Christ to us, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that cares for us, nurtures us, and redeems us. So as we are in the world, let's contemplate what wisdom there is and how it relates to knowledge. You can gain knowledge and gain knowledge and gain knowledge, and you can go to doctors, the smartest and the wisest and the most up-to-date, and they, if they are truly wise, we'll admit we don't know everything. We're trying, we're learning, but we're still practicing medicine. So wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Lord God, be with us and guide us to wisdom amidst the flood of knowledge in our world around us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, number 128. Colleen's going to accompany. Mark, would you like to lead us by singing?
Comfort from and that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I will be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes it seems of deepest gloom, sometimes weary. Oh, trouble seas still desist, and that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful follower I will be by his hand. He leadeth me. Lord, I will place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whenever lot I seize. It is my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace a victory's won, in death's cold I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own.
What do we know? A little bit. Through our own knowledge, our gains, our everything about us, we get a little bit presumptuous about that. We know a little bit. God knows all. In the name of God and the Holy Spirit, let us yield and acknowledge God's great wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
And let's join hands and sing our closing.
God's people said,
Amen. Amen.